Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. You may be seated. And so John comes preaching and preaching a baptism of repentance, and he preaches in such a way that it's not supposed to work that way. Heard about a pastor that did this years ago. So was the rumor. They said, and you know, when he gets around to preaching on John the Baptist Sunday, what he does is he calls out people's sins, names them from the pulpit. And the other guys that were talking with me about this say, oh, can you imagine doing that? So if you came to church and I said, oh, by the way, these are Eileen's sins, I want to list them for you. Would you be likely to come to church?
No.
No. Exactly. But see, this is what John the Baptist does. He names the sin. And the crazy thing about all of this is the response of the people. What do? They come out to him. And everybody's got to go out to John the Baptist and hear their sins named. What is that? And it ties in with the Old Testament lesson. Starts out, the first words are, comfort, comfort my people. What is comfort? Is it comfort when things are going wrong in your life and I just say, oh, it'll be all right? Is that much comfort? Not really. What if, let's raise the ante on this. What if things are going wrong in your life and you're the reason why? Is it any comfort if I do not deal with why it's going wrong? And this is why they went out to John the Baptist, because he didn't just slide past the sin, and I'm going to preach nice things to nice people and tell them how nice they are, and they'll come more. They needed comfort because things were happening. Things were happening all around them. The world was in a turmoil, and their lives were a mess. And he went straight to the mess. And because he brought a word from God to their mess, they listened, they heard, and they said, well, that's not like other preachers that preach niceness to nice people. I got to hear more of this, because maybe he has something that will help me. And it says in the gospel lesson, all of Judea and Jerusalem were going out to him. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her three things. Cry to her three things, and we'll take each of them. Number one, that her warfare is ended. Did you know that you were in the middle of a war? Do you know who you're fighting against in this warfare? That's where it gets worse. Yeah, against God. The warfare is against God. When did it start? Started in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve. Oh, look at that fruit. Oh, and the snake tells me that if I eat it, I'll be like God. And God didn't say that. I'm going to listen to the snake. I love the sign, this. Rebellion, the fist up against God. It's like the whole human race has been picking a fight with God. Oh, he says not to do this? Well, just watch me. And off we head. Rebellious. Fighting against God. Now, if you're fighting against God, if you're picking a fight against God, if the whole human race is doing that in this warfare with God, who's going to lose? That'd be us, wouldn't it? And so in order to have an end to this warfare, you got to get to the point where somebody loses catastrophically, completely and totally. And who's going to do that? And we'll get back to that in a few minutes. Second line, that her iniquity is pardoned. And the whole idea back in the Old Testament with iniquity is the root word is unequal. The idea is that there are appropriate ways to respond to something that happens in your life. And when you don't, it's unequal. So, God has given us life and breath, body and soul, eyes and ears, hands and feet, and everything else. What an amazing set of blessings. Have we used those blessings the way that is appropriate to them? That's unequalness. That's iniquity. The basic concept in the Old Testament on that. And because we have done that, we are off balance and find ourselves limping always, always toward further sin and wrongdoing. Our lives are a mess. And our iniquity has to be dealt with. It has to be pardoned, but it can't just be pardoned by God saying, oh, forget about it. Because to take God's blessings and respond the way that we have, that has earned punishment and a judgment. And you can't get into the comfort unless the punishment and the judgment is dealt out. And how's that going to happen? There's got to be somebody that gets judged. But a little bit more on that later. And the third line, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. That's where it gets really sweet for me. Double for all her sins. You know there's two parts to salvation. And the first part is the taking away of the sins. And everything that goes under that fits that one part. And there's a second part. But first, the taking away of the sins. Her warfare being ended, somebody had to lose catastrophically. There had to be a total crushing defeat. Guess who stepped in to endure the total crushing defeat from a righteous God on sinners? Take a guess. That would be Jesus. And that's another way of picturing what happened on the cross. He went there to be in our place in the warfare against God. He went to stand in our rebellion and receive the judgment that came on that. And he does it in your place so that now you're free. the warfare is ended in Christ. The iniquity is pardoned because Jesus has taken all of the uncleanness and sins and taken them in himself to be there before God for us. It's almost like he goes to the cross and says, "Look, Father, look how horribly unclean I am. I've got the sins of Eileen and Georgette and Laura and Signe and Mark and Mark. And I got all of those covered with sin. Now, what is the right punishment for that sin?" And he accepts it. That's the first part. We have received from the Lord's hand double for all our sins. The first part is the getting rid of the sins. And if you get rid of all your sins, what does that bring you back to? Zero. Still doesn't give you a righteousness or a holiness. Just being a zero blank slate does not mean that you earn or deserve heaven. That's the other part. That's the double. So that, having the sins removed, you then have the holiness given to you to clothe you, to robe you in the holiness of Jesus. He takes all of his holiness and says, "This now I give to you so that you may stand on judgment day and have God say, 'Whoa, Eileen, look pretty holy to me.'" And he carries you through and into eternal life. Later on, in the Old Testament text, "The grass withers, the flower fades. When the breath of the Lord blows on it, surely the people are grass. The grass withers, the flower fades. But the word of our God will stand forever." Want to hear some of that word of our God that will stand forever? Your sins are forgiven. Want to hear another? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Want to hear another? "And behold, I am with you always to the very end of the age." Want to hear one more? "Because I live, you will live." And out of all of these things that are going to fade away, the flower withers, the grass withers, the flower fades, the heavenly body is dissolved, all creation melting. And that's judgment day, and that's the picture of judgment day. But as all those things happen, "But the word of our Lord stands forever." And where is the word of our Lord? He put it inside you. Like John said, "I baptize with water for repentance." He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. And so take his word and put it in your heart. Join it to your soul. And you have an eternal thing inside you, connected to your soul. And the word of our Lord stands forever. And so in the middle of judgment day, when you watch everything melting away, being destroyed by fire, swept clean, unclean. You are held by that word of God that stands forever. And connected to that word of God that stands forever, you then are brought through the judgment day and into eternal life. That's why Jesus came into this world, to connect himself to you and to take his word and join your soul to it, so that you could be preserved through everything. And that's the comfort that John comes preaching. In Jesus' name, amen.